Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Did get to see Lima on TV yesterday. You were looking good.
I was sitting next to Booby.
Yeah, you were.
Booby Gibson. I'm like, what am I doing here sitting next to Booby Gibson?
It was you, Booby, AC, Kaylee Griffin.
And Kaylee, yeah. Kaylee
was up there with you. You guys look good. Everybody looked good. I had to turn the volume down after a minute because I was cleaning up some things. But it wasn't because of like, oh, I hate it. It sounded terrible. I had other things I had to talk about with Liz at the time. So I had to turn the volume down, but I heard your first couple of cut-ins there, and I thought it was a good job.
I tell you, just with the
did nice, look good,
and obviously, like Jeff Phelps had to do this, did this forever with the fans behind you. The fans never stop asking for AC's autograph. It never stops. It never stops. So they have to have security there, and AC will sign every autograph.
That's nice. But
he's Mr. Cavalier.
But he's Mr. Cavalier. He's going to do it. But I'm telling you what happened afterwards. They locked the building. We couldn't get out of the building.
Oh.
And part of it was AC. He's signing autographs, and security thought that the place was cleared. They thought that there was nobody there. There were people waiting around to get his autograph.
Oh, that's nice.
So it was that part of it was absolutely incredible. And AC was like, this is kind of like what Brad Daugherty said with us on Friday. It's like, this is going to be a series. And I'm like, I don't want a long series.
I
don't want any of this long series.
Well, when you hear seven games, you get nervous because it's like, well, anything can happen in a game seven. And I didn't want to make that big of a deal about it because it was at 9 a.m. on a Friday. Frankly, we had one segment before coming in hot afterwards. And when he said it, he thinks it's going to be a seven-game series, like, it does make you go, okay. But it's like he wants to give proper respect to the Indiana Pacers, and I think he did. And now I think after yesterday, we all have proper respect for the Indiana Pacers. I want to say this, and we'll get back to the Cavs. Did you see the report about Jerome Ford taking the pay cut?
I did.
What was your thoughts on that? Mary Kay had that report over the weekend, or on Friday, I want to say, is when Jerome Ford took the pay cut, and went, oh, boy. So now I know that they were working on something. I don't know what the chances are now. It doesn't seem to be very good after the pay cut.
I hate a term that I might have to use.
Okay, what's that?
Has the ship sailed?
All right, we're just going to move on.
On Nick Chubb as a Cleveland Brown. I can't believe, because Kenny, you got me optimistic last week. You're like, no, they are trying to get something done.
I'm not trying to get anybody's hopes up or anything. Like someone said, you got bad sources. No. My sources are fine.
I can tell you,
sources.
Kenny does not have bad sources.
So I'm going to tell you right now, I know that they were trying to, but there comes a point where it's going, hey, it does become, and I haven't talked to anybody since Friday, I ain't gonna lie to you, but it becomes getting close to you know what cutting time and thinking, all right, we got to make a decision on Jerome here. If we make this decision on Jerome and he stays, we got three guys as running backs right now. And for Nick, and again, this part I'm flying blind on. I'm not going to sit there and blame the guy if he only has so many carries or he wonders, could this year be the last year? You don't want to think like that. But he's going to go to a team that maybe he feels is going to have a better chance to contend. And you say whatever you want to about the Chicago Bears. They're trying to contend. That's just the team that I've heard was really heavy after him. I'm sure there's other teams that are involved here.
Why would they let Jerome Ford dictate whether Nick Chubb comes back or not?
I can only think of one reason.
Injury. Possibility, the fear of aggravation with injury.
The only thing I can think of is they can say Jerome Ford could play special teams, and they're trying to optimize that. I know you're rolling your eyes like crazy.
In any world where you go, all right, Jerome, if you take this cut, then we'll keep you. But if not, we're going to get Nick Chubb. Like, just cut him and get Nick Chubb.
So Ford, the other thing Ford did bring to the table last year is he had the threat of a huge run at any time.
A home
time.
Run, yeah.
He had like five home runs last
Kansas
year.
City, yeah. So,
Jerome is much faster than we give him credit for. It's exactly what Lima says. There is a special teams possibility there. Now, I don't know if they're long for Jerome Ford either when you go and you get two running backs in a deep running back class.
This is Nick Chubb, though.
I understand it's Nick Chubb, and I love Nick Chubb. I'm not trying to make excuses for it. Anytime that Nick Chubb signs with another team, I think that a lot of people are going to have a problem with it. But it's just me trying to understand what some of the things are. And it could end up being a situation where, like, Kareem Hunt signs with the Chiefs and then runs for 100 yards, and we're going, well, you know what? We're wrong about that. I was fine with them moving on from Kareem Hunt. I think that a lot of us are going to have problems emotionally from them not being able to bring back Nick Chubb for whatever reason it may be. But we might get to the season, and honestly, I don't know when Nick is going to sign with anybody. I don't know what the timeline is or how any team wants to bring him in. It could be a training camp thing. It could be a regular season thing with Nick.
See, now I would wonder, like, a team like that gets brought up, the Bears. Well, Nick Chubb's a great guy to have in that locker room, right? That's what I would be looking at. Like, is it worth the gamble? Like, are there other backs that, you know, are probably going to have better years, you know, because of the injury stuff with Nick? But I think that they see him for a team that has a bunch of young guys that are learning the league. I mean, who better to have than somebody like Nick Chubb in that, not just the weight room, but just in the locker room?
So Jerome Ford, with the pay cut, is certainly worth the money. What makes it bad for Nick is that in free agency, there wasn't a real big lust for running backs because they knew it was going to be a deep running back class. Your former football team, or hopefully, again, your future football team, but I'm not sure. I mean, you're using terms like ships have sailed, and maybe I'm not willing to come to grips with it. Maybe that's my problem with it. Let's be honest. But I think that when you get to this point, it's a bad year to be a free agent running back. You want to be paid what you believe you deserve, but you also want to find yourself in a position where you could also win. And I don't know if those things all match up. And it could be a spot where he may be somebody goes down because they're all going to go younger. They're all going to bet on youth. They're all going to bet on their scouting and bringing guys in. And if Nick, I don't know what price he's demanding, but if he believes he's worth something and his agent thinks he's worth something, then they may be comfortable waiting around until training camp to sign something. I mean, guys, again, he's very quiet. I wish I could tell you. I have zero clue on when he's going to sign. But it's starting to look like some of the tea leaves would look towards, hey, the Browns with the Jerome Ford thing. You got three guys in your running back room now that you're thinking of. And
looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And when you look elsewhere, maybe it does become a regular season thing with him.
Do you know
or training camp.
The biggest contract that's been given out to a running back here in free agency, Najee Harris, five and a half million. That's the market. Like, you're right. They were going to wait for the draft. All these teams are going to wait for the draft. Yeah. And now you sort through it. And I mean, the names, it's been a bad list. And, you know, what kind of offers could be out there?
You know, last year wasn't as great of a class. Guys got snapped up very quickly, got a little bit more money. That is a position where, like, quarterback doesn't matter. If you're at any possibility of being good, you're going to get paid. I think wide receiver in so many ways, at least with the first contract, could be the same way. With running back, gosh, they're always looking for reasons not to pay you. And I think running back has become more important here over the last couple of years, especially with our dearth at quarterback. But they're going to find every single possible way, and they're going to look at 21 years old versus 28 years old, and they're going to go that way. And I think it leaves Nick on the outside looking in with this situation and with a lot of other situations. I don't think it's over. But I think that he might be looking at camp, and then after that, maybe early season, mid-season, if somebody goes down. Unless you disagree with that. If not, I'm going to get back to the Cavs here.
Yeah, I think that's where we're at. I also wanted the Jerome Ford thing. I mean, I looked. He had last year the 66-yard run against the Bengals. Oh, and he had the 62-yard run against Kansas City. He had a couple in the 30s, you know, earlier in the year, and then catches the ball out of the backfield, too.
He's just.
Do you wonder if that's part of it, too, that Chubb has just never been a guy that catches the ball out of the backfield?
I don't think they've ever given a chance to. It wasn't like he's fumbled it around or anything. They just really haven't run anything for him except with a couple of plays.
I'll never understand, because that is such a weapon in the NFL to have a back that can also go out and do that.
216-474-0092. Cavs lost yesterday to the Indiana Pacers. At least this is one silver line I'm always looking for. At least this stupid Ty Jerome argument is going to go away. At least after game one, I think it's dead forever now. It should be dead for, it won't be dead forever because it's Darius Garland. But at least this Ty Jerome argument goes away for a little bit. And I don't got to worry about that because they do need Darius Garland. How big of a loss is Darius Garland on this basketball team, Tone? Before I go to these phones, because I'm going to ask these people the same thing.
Hey, when I saw Ty Jerome get the 8-second violation and they had some, they had some trouble against pressure. It was a lot of stuff, like, kind of, you know, in the playoffs, you don't see full court presses, right? That's just not something you can do because every guard can basically beat that the way that the NBA players can handle the ball. But they were physical picking up full court. And I think that wears on you over time when you don't have your normal standard prototypical point guard. Like, yeah, Donovan Mitchell can do that. Now you're wearing him out. If Donovan Mitchell has to see a guy in his grill 90 feet from the basket, and you're already tasking him at getting to the hoop and exposing the lack of interior defense that the Pacers have, now you're just asking so much from him, not to mention what Donovan has to do on the other end. You notice Donovan was picking guys up three quarters court and was getting in the face to try to disrupt Halliburton from time to time. Now you're wearing a guy out. That's why 34 minutes for Donovan felt like 40 minutes.
Jeff in University Heights, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Lima, to your point about not wanting a long series, they better win Tuesday or you're going to get your wish. But here's how I see it. So first half, Indiana with the five wide, especially with their pushing the pace, no pun intended at all, made it difficult for the Cavs to get their defense set. That's why you saw Indiana get so many open looks from the three-point line. So they're going to have to correct that somehow. I don't know if it's picking up full court. I don't know if it's double-teaming Halliburton and, until he gets over the half-court line. But that's an adjustment that has to be made. Also, it was unusual last night. When have you seen this season? You could probably count on one hand the number of times you saw two guys take 50 shots where – Donovan had 30 and Ty Jerome had 20 shots, where I think they went away from Mobley, especially in the fourth quarter. He only got one look. You know, Mobley had 20 and 10. Mobley was having a really good game, and then all of a sudden, he's not seeing the ball.
Jeff, it's like you got my sheet in front of me of things I wanted to get to, and I never have sheets. Kenny, you can attest.
No,
I never
doesn't.
Have sheets.
Now he has sheets.
I have a sheet.
Guy goes on TV, and all of a sudden he has notes and sheets and everything.
Gotta have
like
a sheet.
That. It's amazing.
13 field goal attempts. And at no point did I think they could really you know, make a difference in stopping Evan. Like, I thought Evan could get around guys. I thought Evan was comfortable with his dribble last night. Right. I want to see more.
Right. And this matchup concerned me from the beginning. That's why I was really rooting for Milwaukee. I found it laughable last week about Cavs in five. Maybe they'll sweep. Indiana is the kind of team that presents the Cavs problems, that presented them problems during the regular season, a long, athletic, team with athletic wings that have a lot of speed on the perimeter. And that's the team that gives the Cavs a matchup problem. So, you know, this is really going to test their will now, because this is the first time all year where they've had any adversity at all. And this is the first time ever this season where they were presented with a must-win, because Tuesday is must-win. Yes. You go down 2-0, that's it.
Yes. Jeff, thank you very much for the call. Let me get to Derek in Cleveland. Derek, you're next up on the Fan.
How y'all doing today?
Good. Doing well, Derek. Go ahead.
Okay, so I wanted to mention like two to three things. First thing, I don't think this is the series for Jared Allen. And the reason I say that is because he's such a pure center that he wants to help every time down low, which leaves it open for Indiana to move on the perimeter like they was doing. So I think Jared Allen should play less. And I also agree with the previous caller about Evan Mobley. I think in the fourth quarter we should look to him more, because he was being real dominant in the paint, and I think that would have slowed the game down for us going against Indiana. And also, with Darius Garland being out, it takes away from us having another ball handler coming down the court. So when they was pressuring us 84 feet, having Ty Jerome, he's not a true ball handler. So therefore, they were able to bring that pressure. But once Darius Garland come back, I think it will open up more, because he's able to break that pressure of that full court press that they was giving us.
Derek, thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. I want to answer to that when we come back. And how big of a loss is Darius Garland, especially if he's not able to go tomorrow night?